welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to thank you again for tuning into Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. We are going to begin a new series today that I'm excited about. I'm having one of our new ministers, Marcus McKee, who is our new administration minister here at Press and Crest, join me for a series on leadership. Marcus is kind of the leader of our office here at Press and Crest, and I know from visiting with him in recent weeks that he also loves to read about leadership practices and study leadership principles. And so for the next few weeks, Marcus and I are just going to have a conversation together about leading people, whether it be in a church or in a business setting or just life in general. So Marcus, glad to have you on the show today.
Well, I am certainly glad to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So I know a little bit about your background, but why don't you tell us a little bit about where you were raised and then I guess what you've been doing the last few years professionally.
Yeah, well, raised, I was a little bit all over the place. My dad and mom were missionaries to Indonesia, so I spent first 10 years of my life in Indonesia, then lived in Alabama, so, you know, two third world countries there. That I lived in, and so then married a girl from California, and we met in the middle, and here we are in Texas, so there you go. But I last several years, I was working with World Bible School, traveling around, got to see a lot of the country. It was great. Listened to your podcast a lot, obviously, when I was doing all my driving and traveling, so I appreciate that. And then for that, I was with a company called Stryker, a medical device company, and worked with them and had a chance to work with some really great leaders. Really got to see a lot of good leadership in action with them. And so and then most recently, now I'm thrilled to be here at Preston Crest.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And I know God has been preparing you not just for this job, but for many different jobs in your life. And I think it's interesting, you grew up in Alabama and married a girl from California. So you did marry someone from a foreign country. So glad to have both of you back in the United States here. So let's spend a few minutes in this first episode just talking about leadership in general. In fact, the title of this episode is What is Leadership? And I know we could spend months addressing that one question. We're not going to do that today. But Marcus, if you were to give someone what we often call your elevator speech for leadership, you know, if you had 30 seconds at most to spend with someone, how would you define leadership?
Leadership is getting others to believe in themselves and able to do things that otherwise they wouldn't be able to do. It's about helping others achieve their potential.
I love that. So say that again, helping others believe in themselves.
Right. You're helping someone to believe in themselves and believe that they can do what they're set out to do. They can achieve the potential that you see them. See more in them than they sometimes see in themselves and helping them along that path.
I love that answer. That tells us a lot about your character, Marcus, because I think a lot of people, if they were asked to give their 30-second spiel, elevator speech about leadership, it would be more about how you lead or challenge or maybe the struggles and stress you face. But your first answer is helping others maximize their own potential and worth. And I love that answer. I do think that's the key and heart to leadership, is getting out of the way so that others can thrive. So let me ask you this question then. If that's your elevator speech for what leadership is, What would you say leadership is not?
Leadership is not managing day-to-day tasks and helping others figure out how to do to manage their day-to-day task. That's the stuff that can be easily done by just about anyone. And there's a difference between managing and leading, right? The managing person is you're setting their daily task. You do A, B, C, and D, and then you go on and you do E, and this is the rest of your day, and I'm going to help you get stuff out of your way and help you achieve that, which that can be part of it, but that's more managing. Where leadership is, you're diving deeper into the individual person and the team that you've performed. Had a good leader one time tell me that you can tell the difference, because sometimes managers will call it, it's my team, where leaders will call it, it's the team, it's our team. Where they don't put themselves as part of the team reporting to them. They're part of that team. So,
yeah, that's excellent. When I was studying leadership things for doctoral work, that was one line that we focused on a lot, was the difference between leaders and managers, and that a true leader can manage if called upon to do so, but not every manager is a leader.
Right.
And I think that's a great analogy that you use there. I've also heard it defined as the difference between coaching and consulting, where a coach helps you figure out what you need to do, whereas a consultant tells you what you need to do. And there's a time and a place for both. Some people are more drawn to being coaches, while some are more drawn to being consultants. And at times we need someone to just tell us, hey, this is the path you need to take. But more often than not, we need more of a coach.
Right. It's like people need to be managed to a certain point. And once you get them to that point, then you're able to lead them. Everyone is different, and they're on their journey in different places. And it's like with mentorship. That's what I love about the older generations, the older I get, that it's making sure that we're mentoring this younger generation, and that's a coaching piece, right? That's what we're doing. I think it just goes back to you're helping someone achieve more than they thought they could ever achieve. You're helping someone develop their potential, and that's what coaches do, right? You see the good coaches, they take a team that people didn't think could do it, and they bring them together because they've helped each individual person, and they grab the best out of those people.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about the ministry of Jesus, and at times when Jesus put on the consultant hat, and at times when Jesus put on the coaching hat. And it depended on who he was speaking with at the time or the circumstances behind the conversation. At times, Jesus undoubtedly told people, this is exactly what you need to do, particularly his apostles. Like, I need you to go do this, and then do this, and then do this. And if you do those things, this will happen. But then when you think about his teaching ministry, specifically in that of the parables, he asks a lot of questions. And he tells a lot of stories to let people come to the conclusions that more than likely they already knew, but needed a new way of thinking about an old truth. And so if even the Son of God recognized, at times I need to ask people questions and draw out of them what they already know, and at times I need to tell them things that they're unaware of, leadership for us needs to follow that same model. I think it's interesting. I tried to listen to your first answers you give. When I said, what is leadership? Clearly not. The first thing you said was basically, it's not micromanaging people. Have there been times in your professional life, and for those you can't watch, he's smiling and laughing already. Have there been times, of course there have, but have there been times you have felt micromanaged?
Oh, yes. There's definitely times that I've been in my career where I micromanaged, and it took all of what that did to me was just took all of the wind out of my sails. And it, you know, when you micromanage somebody, you're never going to get their discretionary effort. You're never going to get that little extra bit of oomph that they want to do, because you're not giving them the choice to own it. And when you're micromanaged, you don't get to own anything. And that's, man, nobody wants to do that. I want to, if you're going to give me something to do, and you want me to do a task, or you want me to do whatever it may be, I want to be able to own that. It's like owning our faith, right? Do you want your faith micromanaged? No, that's why Jesus asked those questions, to get us to think, right? To think about this at a higher level, and to develop our faith and not just have it handed to us and tell us what to believe. It's bringing us to that. I think that's just a key to just life.
Well, micromanagement is also, I think, the biggest enemy to creativity.
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, people, if they are in positions that they want to be in positions I'm referring to, you know, their line of work, their employment, if they have chosen that career path because it's something they're passionate about, or even better, something they feel called to, where they find their purpose, their creativity needs the freedom to soar, or they care about it, or they wouldn't be doing it. So when leaders, regardless if that's in a business or in a church or in a school, educational world, institution of higher learning, if a dean tells a professor, here's what you have to teach, or if a boss tells a guy in a business, here's what you must do to produce this expectation, or in a church, here's how you must spend all of your time, or, you know, here's what you must study or present, the creativity dies.
And that's where with leadership, you understand that somebody, we need to know the parameters. So help us with that. But then you have to let it go and let them have that creativity to develop it, again, make it their own. It's I've often heard it said is like, you know, hire good people and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. You know, so that way you get that creativity, especially I can't imagine being a minister and being dictated, you're going to preach on, this is what your sermon topics are going to be for the year. And here's your text, and here's all of it, and that being given to you as a minister, because then you really can't minister to the congregation from what you see, can you? It's like you as the minister, you're hired to come in and to minister to these people, so you get to know them and you know what they need. But then if you're being given somebody's other thoughts, like you need to do this, and I want you to preach on these topics. And you go, well, wait a minute, that's not what I see my team needs, or what the congregation needs.
Right. And I know your heart, and I know your background. I know you have a high regard for elders. So you're not saying that elders shouldn't be able to tell a minister, hey, we want you to preach on this issue or that issue, because they absolutely should and have the right to do that. But you're talking about where ministers don't have the ability to ever come up with their own topics. Or
correct, exactly. I think it's absolutely, because the elders, if they are truly pastoring their flock, if they are shepherding, then what are they going to do? They're going to know, they should hopefully know better than the minister what that flock needs, and can definitely direct that. But it would be as in telling somebody, okay, I want you to preach on, we need to preach on forgiveness, and then dictating the actual passage that you as the minister had to use as your text. That's a whole different level of scrutiny that you.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said a few moments ago I thought was excellent. You said a manager talks about my team, and a leader talks about our team. I see that in church dynamics, church leadership dynamics, where on both sides of the issues, a preacher can think in terms of my pulpit, and elders can think in terms of our flock. Whereas if elders and ministers can have more of that team mindset as real leaders of, this is our pulpit that maybe you fill on a weekly basis, and this is our flock that maybe the elders tend to in a, you know, more of a sense of an authority, but we're all doing this together. There's not that constant fighting and turf war of territory of, this is your lane, that's my lane. You know, I think it's really healthy where a minister can tell an elder or a group of elders, hey, I think this does need to be addressed. Would y'all like to address it? I don't have to be the one to do it. Or vice versa, when elders say, hey, this family really needs ministering to, and maybe you can minister to them in a more effective way than we can, would you be the one to offer the counseling or the pastoral care? And it's not the, well, I'm the preacher, so I speak, or we're the elders, so we pastor, but it's a shared responsibility where it's our church that we're all hoping to build together. It's a much healthier dynamic.
Yeah, because when we take ourselves out of the equation, what I want is, if I come in, I think it needs to be done a X, Y, and Z way, and the elders think it needs to be done A, B, and C way. Well, regardless, what's the best way to do it versus whose idea it is and what needs to be done? Then you come together as that team, you build that, and recognize that together we do more and we do better because we don't make it about ourselves, but we make it about others.
Yeah. And we could jump off in another conversation, which we don't have time to do today, but that doesn't happen without real and open and honest and strategic communication. You can't have leadership without communication. You know, how can you lead people who are in the dark and vice versa? So that's another episode for another day. But one of the reasons I wanted to have you on to talk about this, because I know we both love studying communication and leadership and thinking in terms of leadership and building groups and building organizations, churches, whatever it may be. Okay, so one last question for today. You don't have to offer names unless you just want to, but when have leaders made a significant impact in your life?
I've had several key moments that I can point to, and several great leaders that I've worked with all along the way. And one leader, his name was Pete Kilpatrick, and Pete and I used to argue all the time with each other. We'd have closed doors, and we would just go at it because we were so much alike, very passionate people. But Pete was very direct with me, and he was very honest with me. So I trusted Pete beyond anything. And what he helped me understand was the value, back to the communication, of being honest with somebody about where my areas that I need to prove, my weaknesses were, where my strengths were. And he would always tie the two together. And when we would be talking, he wouldn't beat around the bush on something. He goes, look, you're not doing this well, and you need to improve that if you're going. Now, he can be very blunt with me, but I've also had leaders that were very good about maybe the way they delivered the message, you know, because sometimes our message gets lost in the delivery, because back to the communication piece, we just fumble it up, and we say something very bluntly to somebody who you don't want to say something bluntly to, and it, what your message is lost. But Pete was very good about delivering a message to me in a way that I understood it, appreciated it, and that caused me to work on it, whether it was something that he needed to see more of because I was doing it well, or something I need to work on.
Pete Kilpatrick, was he your senior? Were y'all colleagues?
So he was my boss. He was the senior manager, VP of the department that I worked in. And it was interesting. I had another great leader right after him, and then that was Nick Gephardt. That he was different a lot of ways than Pete, but he was outstanding as well, and could get a lot out of the team. And both of those guys got a lot out of the team, not just out of me individually, but all the people.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. You used two words there describing, you said direct and honest. And as you said that, I thought to myself, those are not always the same thing. Because sometimes people can be honest, but they've waited too long to be honest, and the harm's already been done. And then sometimes people can be just direct, and their evaluation may not be accurate. And so we find it very offensive, as we would and should, of like, well, yeah, I mean, you told me exactly what you think, but it may not be true. But then I've had people in my life who have been real honest with me, but I've been like, if that was happening, why did you take so long to get around to telling me? Because, you know, maybe we could have avoided some other conflict along the way if you'd been honest with me in the beginning. So I like that, direct and honest. And I think that's a good thing for leaders to remember is I need to be both. I think it's interesting. You said his name was Pete, mm-hmm. Pete Kilpatrick. Yes. So he's a senior. He's a little older than you are. You know, in relation to your age, and he had probably earned the right, not only in life, but in your own heart, Pete, you can tell me what I need to do. Right. Now, back to the discussion we had a few moments ago, the difference between coach and consultant. Let's talk about people maybe our own age, life stage, same experience level. Is it more important when we're dealing with people in a similar stage of life to be the consultant or the coach?
Whatever stage of life they're in, if you're in the same stage with them, you're kind of a peer, so to speak. It comes to me, it comes down to trust. Mm-hmm. You have to build that trust. And I want to be a coach to my friends, to my peers, in the way because they trust me. Whereas a consultant, you don't necessarily trust. Mm-hmm. You know, I've worked you work in the secular world for long enough, you laugh because consultants are the people who never could do, right? They can tell you how to do it, but they can't do it. And a lot of times it would follow a same pattern. So if you were leading a team, you're always leery of a consultant coming in because they're going to do something they're going to tell you how to do something without ever having the real world experience of it. And so you don't trust them. Now consultants do have a place and they do give a lot of value, but it's harder to develop that trust. And so I think it's better to be a coach most of the time because you have that trust, if that makes sense. And you're a coach, you know, has your best interest at heart. Right, you think about it. If I'm playing for a coach, I'm playing hard because he knows me, he understands me, and I'm going to listen to what he says. If somebody's my consultant, I'm going to take what they say, I'm going to evaluate it, and then I'm going to decide what to do with it, yay or nay.
Would you say that a coach has a more long-term relationship with someone than a consultant?
Absolutely. You think about... If you go back to your days in high school or elementary school, if you played high school sports, you know, I still remember high school football, Coach Whittle, right? No, he has that impact because of what he did, what he said. But I couldn't tell you the name of the five consultants that we had when I was a striker that we brought in for different things. So, because while... suffice to say, the consultants maybe had a bigger impact on my present at that time, what I was living at that time and what I was doing and the success that I would have. Well, Coach Whittle had a life impact on me.
I'm a huge golfer, as you well know, and we're sitting in my office and there's
golf stuff everywhere.
There's two golf clubs in the corner and a few golf pictures. But I think it's so neat right now in this season of the Scottie Scheffler season of the world, the way Scottie Scheffler talks about his coach, who goes with him to every tournament and watches him on the driving range. And Scottie, I guess he's about 27. Yeah, he's 11 years younger than me. But he started going to his coach when he was 8. And the other day he was in a post interview after winning a tournament and said that his coach on and off the golf course had made a bigger impact on his life than anyone else. And that he had taught him a lot about the golf swing, obviously, but he had taught him also a lot about life. And I think that's a neat dynamic that, as you well said, consultants are important and consultants serve a purpose for a season. Coaches seem to stick with you the rest of your life. Even if you may not still be talking to them, you remember what they did for you at a time when you really needed help.
Because I remember the name Pete Kilpatrick. Well, when I was working for Pete, we had three consultants that were hired to do various things. I couldn't remember what those guys did. It's those great leaders, I think they stick with you because they believe in you. Mm-hmm. And when somebody believes in you, think about this, if somebody believes in you, you remember that person, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to remember necessarily everything somebody did, but I'm going to remember how you made me feel. And if you believed in me, you're going to make me feel good.
Especially if I didn't believe in myself.
Right. That's a whole nother level of feeling good. Man, you didn't believe in me. I didn't believe in myself. I needed somebody to come along, and it's recognizing that. And just, it's beautiful.
Well, man, I appreciate your time, and I look forward to these next few episodes.
Yes.
Leadership, glad to have you on board here at Press and Crest.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk leadership.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for tuning in today and for giving us a few of our moments and a day here at Road Talk. As always, keep your eyes on heaven, and we look forward to talking with you next time. God bless.